clearly the presentation by Escudier at the 2007 ASCO meeting of initial findings of the combination of interferon and bevacizumab was a major new data set that now affects the treatment algorithm. I met with Dr. Robert Amato, who commented on what we know right now about bevacizumab and renal cell cancer.
The initial data from Yang that came out in the New England Journal showed some progression-free survival relative to placebo, low dose, which then started putting it together in combinations with cytokines while these targeted agents were being established and developed. So the first combination that we saw presented by Bernard Escudier at ASCO with interferon and bevacizumab versus interferon showed two important points. Showed the progression-free survival interval relative to interferon, that was statistically significant, and also tumor responses, that were statistically significant. So now we have a combination with a cytokine, interferon, with bevacizumab showing comparable activity to these oral TKIs. But the difficulty is, ironically, neither drug is truly approved by the FDA in the United States. So how that combination will be viewed is difficult. For my own personal, we have a hard time getting third-party payers for bevacizumab.
Sort of putting aside cost and reimbursement issues, focusing purely in sort of risk-benefit ratios in a more pure sense, right now with the data that we have, what's your take on sort of the risk-benefit ratio in the first-line setting for sunitinib versus Bev interferon versus maybe Bev alone?
Fair question. Well, let's break it down. You've got sunitinib side effects. The predominant side effect is the fatigue, and they have the built-in break. You know, so it's the four-week, two-week schedule, and then it's got the additional side effects from the skin reactions to the gastrointestinal reactions, and occasionally you'll get the hematologic profile where you see the decrease in counts. And you need the two-week rest period. Nexavar, the clear issue there is going to be the skin reactions associated with the hand-foot syndrome, which can be troublesome if it's significant for a patient. With both of those drugs, if you begin manipulating dose by lowering dose to adjust for side effect toxicity, you tend to lose efficacy. So you've really got to maintain it at the doses that are approved. Bevacizumab is a single agent. When you look at a side effect profile, is more manageable, clearly. You're dealing with hypertension and proteinuria, which are more manageable, and the guidelines are easy to follow for a community oncologist. When you're adding interferon with bevacizumab, you're still seeing the similar side effect profile. So if one's looking just from a tolerability standpoint, it would be a fair statement to make, interferon bevacizumab is better tolerated than the oral TKIs. And then it becomes a reimbursement question.
What about efficacy?
Again, efficacy is, you know, it's unfair to say one is better than the other when you're not doing head-to-head trials, and you know that. But if you just compare across the board, they're all relatively similar. You're looking at sunitinib from phase 2 data, phase 3 data, anywhere from 30 to 40% activity with a stability portion as well. And looking at Nexavar, somewhere between 5 and 10%. But again, that overwhelming stability portion. And if you're on bevacizumab, you're looking at about a 30% response rate, tumor response rate, and again, with another stability fraction. If you just simply look at progression-free survival, they're all between 5 and 10 months. So they're all relatively overlapped, in my opinion, there.